Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity and the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars for Monday, July 1st, 2024. Almost said 2023 there. This year just goes flying away. This might be the most interesting year in politics. I'm just saying. I tell you what. That situation last Thursday, we'll be commenting on that tonight. And you're going to say, well, this is a safety show. Yeah, well, okay, great. Yes, I know. We do comment on this stuff. Mostly, you know, it's been an interest of mine, politics. It's been an interest of mine since, I was thinking, 1979, roughly? I mean, I do remember the first election returns I sat with. I remember my father used to work second shift. And I think it was 1970. I have a distinct memory, either 72 or 73, maybe 74. It wasn't 72, 72 or 73. One of my first memories was watching election returns with my father sitting on his lap in the middle of the night because I couldn't sleep for whatever reason, and he used to work second shift. He was up all night. Got in around 11:30, and you know, that's what it was. So I've had a lifelong interest in it, was involved in it for many years. Still a little bit involved with it. I get candidates that come up to me and ask, hey, Jim, I want to get involved in politics. How do I do it? And I said, are you really sure you want to do it? Here's my story. But no, we do not officially endorse anyone here as a program or as a network. However, I think, you'll know where I'm coming from here, right? I'm not going to be like other people. We're unbiased. And then all of a sudden, as I said on Friday, the big winners were the moderators in CNN, right? Tapper and the other name of the other moderator escapes me right now. Very, very good job they did, CNN. I thought they were going to be in the bag for Biden, to be with you. But it was really, I thought, very fair. They should be both congratulated on that. Real quick, let me look up their names. I should have that. But hold on here. What were their names? CNN debate moderators. Yeah, I should have this in here. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, it was Dana Bash and Jake Tapper. Phenomenal job. My opinion, phenomenal job. But it's like this. Just so you know where I'm coming from, I'm going to go and I'm going to read a little something from today. I wrote some stuff here, some background news here. Now, background here. You know what? Let me do the top of the hour news and then we'll go from there. And then we'll come on back to this. Hang on here. So, this is Safety Wars News for January 1st, 2024.
Welcome to Safety Wars News for July 1st, 2024. This is Oliver S. Radowisko reporting. Pennsylvania contractor cited for workplace safety violations. A Pennsylvania contractor faces $200,000 in penalties for multiple workplace safety violations. The violations include inadequate fall protection, improper scaffolding setup, and failure to provide adequate training. These findings stem from an inspection initiated after a worker's fall incident. A New Jersey-based manufacturing company was fined $150,000 for exposing workers to hazardous chemicals without proper protective equipment or training. The inspection revealed that the company failed to implement necessary safety measures to protect workers from chemical burns and respiratory issues. OSHA has launched a national emphasis program to address the rising concern of heat-related illnesses and fatalities. The program focuses on industries with high exposure to heat stress, including construction, agriculture, and warehousing, aiming to enforce preventive measures and provide resources for worker protection. EPA News. Carlisle Construction Materials penalized for stormwater permit violations. Carlisle Construction Materials will pay over $24,000 for violations of stormwater permits. The company failed to implement adequate stormwater controls, resulting in unauthorized discharges into local water bodies. The EPA's enforcement action aims to ensure compliance with environmental standards. Connecticut property owner to perform lead abatement. A property owner in Connecticut has been ordered to pay a penalty and perform lead abatement for violations of federal lead-based paint regulations. The owner failed to disclose the presence of lead-based paint hazards to tenants and did not perform necessary lead abatement activities, posing significant health risks. Gloucester, Massachusetts company fined for Clean Air Act violations. The EPA has fined a company in Gloucester, Massachusetts, for alleged violations of the Clean Air Act. The company was found to be operating without the required permits and failing to control emissions of hazardous air pollutants. The enforcement action underscores the EPA's commitment to ensuring clean air compliance. Secretary of Labor highlights workforce development programs. The Secretary of Labor emphasized the importance of workforce development programs aimed at equipping workers with skills necessary for high-demand industries. New initiatives will focus on expanding access to training and apprenticeships, particularly in underserved communities, to bridge the skills gap and promote economic growth. Stay informed and stay safe. For more detailed information on these stories, visit the respective OSHA and EPA news releases. For all of your safety news, views, and podcasts, tune into our podcast and videos as Safety Wars on your favorite podcast platform. Visit and listen to Safety FM for all of your safety podcasts and Radio Big on Live 365, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio and SafetyFM.com.
This is Safety Wars, broadcasting to our brothers and sisters in the occupied territory of behavior-based safety. Get out your secret decoder ring. Here is your nightly message.
Human error is normal. Human error is normal.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that actually addresses your hazards in your workplaces and is not standardized baloney from 25 years ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call Jim Polzel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Polzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy.
Yes, Jessica, I am your father.
Now, getting back to it, I thought the moderators did a phenomenal job. I want to read to you something I wrote in the way, no, we're going to refer to the Wayback Machine from June of 2023. This is part of my my graduate school project. And I did this on environmental issues in the news here. And what the idea was why is news reporting important? Right? And this is what it comes down to. And the public perception of environmental issues, right? How important is it? How is it reported? Is it manipulated? Obviously, it's very important.
Environmental issues have become a lever that two ideologically opposed groups, liberals and conservatives, are using to acquire votes through dividing people and gaining a political advantage in our nation. As Americans, we believe that a well-informed public, right, usually I can say that pretty right, is important and is vital if we are to elect political office the qualified people necessary for the survival of our republic and the running of our program. The public, through its perception and of news and things and everything else, and by use of its vote, exerts the ultimate power to control our government. Right? So, real simple, what my idea was. You know, it wasn't really, articulately written here, but it's along the lines of, we're supposed to go and have an informed public. The informed public then goes and votes and does all the other stuff that's necessary in life. And based on good information, we're going to vote on nice people. I know this is a utopian view, and unfortunately, you got to deal with utopian views here. All right, so we have people who are, running for office. We know what politics is. They'll tell you anything almost. And we know accuracy and everything else goes in there. And based on the information we're getting, we're going to create a vote. And they set priorities. Hey, this should be our priority, blah, 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 blah. All right. So you need good information. Now we have here, and I'm going to read a little bit about this from our March 19, 2021 episode number 8 of Safety Wars. Right, and this is from March 19th, 2021. Today we're inspired by an article on BetterHelp.com by Mary Dean. What is gaslighting? A sneaky kind of emotional abuse. What is it? It's a psychological manipulation in which a person or a group covertly sows the seeds of doubt in a targeted individual or a group, making them question their own memory, perception, and judgment. I think both sides have had their share of that since last Thursday. What is gaslighting? A little bit of history here. Gaslight is a play written by Patrick Hamilton that was made into two movies, a 1940 version and a 1944 version, starring Charles Boyer, Ingrid Bergman, and in her movie debut, an 18-year-old Angela Lansbury. She is also known for the TV show, right? Murder, She Wrote. She also won two Academy Awards. Not for Murder, She Wrote, that's the TV show. But anyway, in short, this is a movie about a woman whose husband manipulates her into believing she is going insane. Over the last 6 years, the movie title has become a real psychological term and has made it into popular culture. And it goes on and on and on and on. The whole thing, you can go look up the whole podcast. Why is this relevant? So for the last 3 years, let's just put it that way, we have been told many things about both political candidates that are in the running here. The final two, even though that's debatable because there are other people like Robert F. Kennedy and other people who are on the ballot. And if you're interested, you can look back in September on how to get on the presidential ballot. The two major party candidates have been told so many things about each one of them. We all have our ideas, and then we're told, well, this is not what it is. This is not what it is, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you're wrong for thinking that way. And this goes both ways. So Thursday night came about. I watched the debate. I watched the debate again on one of the many platforms out there, YouTube, and I've been listening to the internet and talk shows, TV shows, and everything else, and I'm trying to piece together, hey, what are we looking at here? What's our perceptions? What are we being told? And now with the former President Trump, we've had all of these things with legal theories, legal cases, and essentially, we've been told, oh yeah, we have great things going on one side where he's going to get convicted, he's going to get this, he's going to get that, blah, 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 blah. Over the last, he was convicted and is appealing 34 different felonies.
And then we have to hear, well, there's going to be more legal cases. And today, around 11 o'clock in the morning, a little bit before that, what do we see? We see Supreme Court cases coming out that basically deal with sovereign immunity and presidential immunity and everything else. Okay, all well and good. So now we've all watched the debate on Thursday. Now we're being told, well, this isn't what you saw. This is what you saw. You saw President Biden with a cold. You saw this. You saw that. You saw a dementia. You saw early onset Alzheimer's, even though I don't know how that's early at 80-some years old. But okay, we'll go with it. We get all this stuff going on and everything else. And what's one to think here? I thought immediately of gaslighting, where we saw what happened on camera, and we have different perception we're getting from the news, we're getting lied to, we're being gaslit, where, hey, this isn't what you actually saw, and what you know isn't exactly true, and it goes on both sides here. And what ends up happening now is we have a problem. And I'm going to give you some specific evidence that nobody was expecting this to go down on Thursday like it did. How do I know? Couple of things. If you have bad news in politics, when do you release that bad news? And when there's going to be a Guvno show, when do you release that news? It's always on a Friday. Or if it's always on the day before a long weekend, why is that? I'll tell you why. A lot of these Sunday morning shows that you see on TV and a lot of the segments are filmed during the week. I know this. Or they're filmed on like a Friday morning or Friday during the day. If you expect to have bad news in politics, you put it on Friday, especially if you're going to be having radio talk show hosts and reporters and news people from the opposing side on vacation. Limbaugh was famous for this. This happened. Bad news came out, and it was always when Limbaugh was on vacation. Why? That way Limbaugh can't comment on him. And now, well, there are many heirs to Limbaugh out there, and on the left, it's the same thing. When bad news is happening, when is that? When do you happen? It happens on a Friday. This way, nobody could say anything over the weekend when everything is already written and filmed and everything. Now they're playing catch up. Nobody knows what to think. And especially in the summer, and I think in 2024, what we're learning is that people are out there. First real summer post COVID. They have record traveling. Some people have some disposable income. How? I don't know. And everything's involved. Everyone's going. Nobody's paying attention. By the way, in this environmental field, if you have sampling with samples with a short holding time, you never sample on Friday. Always on Thursday, right? Yeah, because on Friday, you want to make damn sure those samples get to the laboratory and start being analyzed. That's why I never schedule anything on Friday for sampling. But, right? So they had it on Thursday, this whole debate. That means everybody is watching on Thursday. Most people are going away. The big commentators are going away for the long, starting their weekend on Friday or on Saturday, right? Some of them are in. And now everybody is commenting all day Friday on this debate. Regardless of how you go on, the left is saying, oh, well, he had a cold and he had some issues. And he had like people on The View that are like, and the commentators and murmurings on the left and on the right, they're like how wonderful Donald Trump is and everything else. And I'll give you absolute proof that they didn't know this, what was going on. I am on the talking lists on the list that they send out, the talking points for both political parties. They never get you off the list. Once you're on the list, you're on the list. You donate, make a little donation here and there. Even the smallest, you get all the talking points. You get the text messages. You get
you know, phone calls galore from both sides. I get them from both sides, so I got them all. I never, you know, I've always made sure my information is up to date with them since I moved a couple of times since 2010. But anyway, birds chirping is all you heard. And social media, I didn't see anything across my feed until sometime mid-weekend. Nobody expected this. And now we're being told all different types of stuff. And, you know, this and that. Now, we have a problem here, especially if you're on one side, on the Biden side. You got a huge issue. Because there's been murmurings from people on the right for years over what you saw, what manifested itself on Thursday, however you want to interpret it. And not this isn't a personal attack on anyone, or I'm not endorsing anyone. Now all of a sudden, oh no, we've all been saying this, this, and this. Maybe there's some kind of, you know, it doesn't make us look too good, covering for this guy. And then we can do a whole program on that, on covering for your boss, right, with safety issues. It happens in every organization. On the Trump side, you're getting something. No, I did not get one solicitation for money for like 48, 72 hours. Nothing. I get those things five times a day. Emails from Donald, from Don Jr., from this one and that one and whatever. All right? Nothing. So that's an observation. But what? We've been told all different types of things, and now about Donald Trump, now all these Supreme Court cases come out. And you read the Supreme Court cases, they're different than what we've been hearing in the news, even from Donald Trump supporters. So the question is this. Are we being lied to? Are we being manipulated? And that's what the point is. Constant manipulation with this. How much longer are we going to handle this? I think with the media and everything else out there, this things information is easily gotten to. I like to use the example of the Supreme Court cases. Before the internet, we had no access to Supreme Court cases. You know that? No, access to that. Yeah, every once in a while we got a report here and there, and we were relying on other people, other sources, to actually go and interpret this stuff for us. We also have the other issue with in religion. One of them was Vatican II. And I'm not talking religion, y'all. I talk politics, now we're talking religion. Next we're going to talk money, right? With politics and religion. Right? Now with religion. Vatican II was issued early, when was it, 67, something like that, over the course of a couple of years, and it brought in some updates to the Catholic Church. People didn't have access to that easily. You had to be in the church hierarchy to get that. You had to be involved in the church and everything else. And now, lo and behold, 50 years later, we're still finding out things about Vatican II with that. Now, 50 years later, hey, they didn't mean this, they meant this, and this, and this, and you can go look up the controversy. Again, monopoly on information. What are you being told? Now we can easily look things up. In my own faith tradition, Lutheranism, we're going through a lot of the same things where, you know, they'll talk about this and this and go to church and Bible, blah, 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 blah. Then all of a sudden you start to go deep into things like the Concord, Book of Concord, many, many other things. Now, you know, hey, why didn't they tell us that? Again, you got to double check everything, even on this show. Double check everything we're saying. But what's my thing? I'm all over the place. What's my point? Constant manipulation is not going to serve us. Truth and seeking the truth, whatever that is, however you want to define it, is going to be save us. That's what we have to base our vote on, the way we act, the decisions we make. Because I think the biggest loser on Thursday were both political parties. And the mainstream media that's been giving us loads of baloney for the last 3 years on both these candidates. They're the losers. And I'm going to say the left and the right wing media too. Both of them. Why can't they go out and give us in-depth analysis on its analysis? Why do we have all this hyperbole? This is not going to serve us well. And from a lot of the news reports we're seeing out there, we have calls to civil war, warnings of civil war. In this country, they even came out with a movie with a Kirsten Dunst, right, on civil war. Today, we're getting reports out of France, where some people didn't like the basis of the elections there. And guess what? On the conclusion, we're going to have a civil war. That's what we're being told now. There's going to be, again, civil war, nobody wins. Very rarely does anyone win. Especially in modern times, the civil wars drag on for years. It's not like you're fighting the American Civil War. It's done in 3 years, 4 years. Most of these civil wars last for years and years and years and possibly generations with bad results. I don't want to head on down there. We got to work it out. We'll get there together. But I think we need new leadership. Now, regardless of how the 2024 election turns out, doesn't matter. As I've said previously, I don't think one or both of these candidates may not be there in November just because they're not going to, legal issues, resignations, off the ballot, what have you. I don't think so. What we see today, right? Not what we're going to see later. As far as logistics are concerned, Biden does not have, the nominee at the convention, right? They may nominate Biden or they may nominate Trump, and the delegates may not vote for those people. And this may end up as a quote unquote floor fight at the convention where they can't find a candidate. Then anybody can become president at that point. Anybody can be nominated at that point. Whatever it is, it's a mess. And all of this has got to be sorted out, by the end of the Democratic National Convention. So let me hold the NC Convention 2024. Where is it? I know it's in Chicago, but it's August 19th to the 22nd. So by August 22nd, whatever the fallout from this situation, that's going to be one of the choke points is August 22nd, who the nominee is. And that now, if something happens after that, now you run into big issues. And the big issue is this, ballot access. Everything, I think you'll have to have, they'll run through some legal loopholes and there will be court cases putting whoever the nominees are after these conventions are over, if they make it, if there's different enough. But by the end of the convention, if this is not solved, and this goes into after the convention, you're going to see a Gouverneur show like you've never seen before. Because now there's ballot access issues and they have to print the ballots. And they have the nominations and this and that. And, it's a nightmare. That's why they try to get this done in June, by June. Now, I'm going to go. I know I'm rambling on and on and on and on. I'm going to go to the bottom of the hour news here. And we'll go to there and see what we got. Hold on here. Yes, I am learning. Ooh, hold on. Bottom of the hour.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Nick Harper. The U.S. Supreme Court has granted former President Donald Trump limited immunity from prosecution for official acts taken while in office. The justice's landmark ruling on Monday by a 6-3 margin means a potential trial into his alleged attempts to overturn the 2020 election is further postponed. FSN's Benji Hire reports from outside the Supreme Court in Washington.
This long-awaited ruling was met with a boisterous atmosphere outside the Supreme Court, and then, frankly, a bit of confusion. The court holds that a former president has absolute immunity for core constitutional powers, like appointing ambassadors, and a presumption of immunity for official acts, but no immunity for unofficial acts. It's less clear what constitutes official versus unofficial acts. Justices are leaving that to lower courts to decide, effectively kicking the can down the road and delaying yet another criminal trial, perhaps beyond November's election. Cue outrage from liberal justices. They say the decision reshapes the institution of the presidency and makes a mockery of the principle that no man is above the law. That man, Donald Trump, was elated, calling it a big win for our constitution and democracy.
Meanwhile, former senior aide to Donald Trump, Steve Bannon, has reported to prison to begin serving a four-month sentence for defying a congressional subpoena from the House committee investigating the January 6, 2021 attack on the US Capitol. Ever since Kate Fisher reports from Washington.
Steve Bannon will be held in federal prison where he won't have access to the internet, making it hard for him to communicate with his fans on social media. The conservative podcaster was a key advisor to Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign and then chief White House strategist for a time. He's remained a staunch Trump ally and is a vocal supporter of his presidential re-election bid. He'll become the second former Trump aide to be imprisoned for a contempt of Congress conviction after Peter Navarro began a four-month sentence earlier this year.
After a series of deadly attacks against Ukrainian cities over the weekend, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has reiterated calls to loosen restrictions on the use of long-range American missiles against targets inside Russian territory. Ever since Megumi Lim reports from Kiev.
Seven people, including three children, were killed after a Russian missile attack on a small town in southeastern Ukraine on Saturday. And one person was killed and eight injured, including an eight-month-old infant on Sunday, after a Russian-guided bomb struck a postal depot in the northeastern city of Kharkiv. These weekend attacks have prompted President Zelensky to reissue appeals to lift restrictions on the use of long-range American missiles known as ATACMS, so that Ukraine can target Russian air bases that house jets responsible for these attacks.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, looking today at the agonies within the Democratic Party about President Joe Biden's performance in last Thursday's debate against former president and now convicted felon Donald Trump. The president is digging in his heels, insisting he won't abandon his campaign for re-election, and the next few days could be critical in determining whether he sees off calls for him to make way for a younger presidential nominee. Jonathan Friedland is a columnist and former Washington correspondent for The Guardian, and argues that 4 months from Election Day, a change in candidates is still possible.
In a way, I mean, Joe Biden did a favor for everyone because it was he who brought this debate forward. It should have happened in October. If it had happened then, it would have been just too late. But he wanted it early to allay all these fears about his age. It did the opposite. It made people really worried. But there is time. If Democrats want to do it, there is time. The problem I'm discovering, having had lots of text messages with, you know, key people in the Democratic Party today, is that no one wants to be the person who makes the first move. That Biden, you know, is a proud man, a stubborn man, and people... The kind of people you might listen to, former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi being one of them, just do not want to be the person who makes that call.
It is worth making the point that at 84, Nancy Pelosi is herself running for re-election to the House this November, though to be fair, she did warn President Biden not to debate Donald Trump, saying several weeks ago she thought it was a terrible idea. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
And the main news again, the US Supreme Court has granted former President Donald Trump limited immunity from prosecution for official acts taken while in office. Former senior aide to Donald Trump, Steve Bannon, has reported to prison to start a four-month sentence, and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has reiterated calls to be able to use long-range American missiles to strike targets inside Russia. That's Feature Story News, Nick Harper reporting.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Poelzel, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now, he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all. With his engaging storytelling and expert analysis, Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Poelzel and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Poelzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
With this whole thing. My opinion. Let me get back. Where is the camera? There we go. Did a pretty good job here. Summarize. No. Again, but the thing is, we're being manipulated. Constant manipulation. That's what... No, we're going to manipulate this way, that way. You got facts, I got facts. This is not good. This is not good, friends. With this... I mean, it's actually really bad, in my opinion. Because, and the other thing is this. We're to blame for this. We have allowed this to happen as a society. Well, what do you mean, Jim? What do you mean? We've allowed this. We've allowed our people to manipulate our emotions. We've allowed them to destroy good men and women who ran for political office. I've worked with a lot of them. I said, look, I can't deal with this. And as evidenced by the bottom of the hour report, they're having an issue. And this is not, this is FSN News. This is not, Fox News. This is not any of the other alphabet networks. This is a pretty, they run pretty much down the center. International news. And so, with this whole thing, now that nobody wants it. It's a job nobody wants. I don't think that's true, but that's what they're reporting. I think there are people who do want this job. They will find someone to fill that in there, and there will be a minimum of 43% of the electorate voting for that person. Same thing with the Republicans. There will be roughly around 38% of the voters voting for that, guaranteed. And then you have to play games with the other voters to see who's going to, and the battleground states and all that, electoral college. Now, there's also something more important here with us. When we have situations like this coming about, right, where we have people, we have to have a question. What is the perception of the rest of the world? Because right now, the rest of the world does not like either one of these candidates, and they're viewing us like this. Right? That's how they're viewing us. Do you think that looks good to people like Xi Jinping in China? Vladimir Putin? North Korea, the Ayatollahs over there in Iran. Doesn't look good, guys. And that's the other thing. What are you going to do with any of this? It's, what the thing is this. We cannot impact this. What can we impact? We can impact what we do, how we do it, how we react. That's what you can impact. You cannot impact what the government does. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to vote? Are you going to go out there, become a leader in your community, educate your community? It's a little bit late for that. We work on a 4-year election cycle here. Our first year is... Right, you have a presidential election, then the year after that, you educate and recruit voters. Then the second year, you have a midterm election. right? And maybe run a couple of candidates. So you're still you're still educating, registering voters, recruiting voters. Third year, what are you doing? Educating, right? See what your results are for the second year. And then third year, educate your voters, recruit new voters. And what do you do the following year? Following year is this. You educate and recruit your voters and you get out the vote. Right? Because you should have known for a year or two who you could rely on. And now fifth year, you're out there, you know, getting the vote out and everything else. This applies to both parties. They're not doing a good job, either one of them. We're supposed to be getting smarter, not more stupid here. And if you're in states like New Jersey and Kentucky with off-year statewide elections, then it's a never-ending cycle. Never-ending. Every year you're getting out the vote. Every year you're registering. Every year you're doing it. But you can't rely on the news media to do that for you. The mainstream media, you have to rely on the podcast world and other sources. That's all I'm going to say on that, with that. Now, story number two. I get questions all the time, and usually the questions that I get are on, you're going to say, this is funny. Usually questions, and again, let me back up. I'm not endorsing or advocating for any candidate here. I'm just calling it right down the middle as I see it here. We got problems. Now, number two, next topic. I get questions all the time on disaster prepping, and that's my most often asked thing, frequently asked. What do I do in an emergency? Well, first of all, there's a lot of prevention that goes in before we get to the emergency. The emergency is a failure, right? Your response, right? Emergencies are failures, right? Someone said, I had a near miss last week on a situation. Nobody got hurt. No equipment damage. It was a true near miss. And it's along the lines of, well, Jim, why are you upset over a near miss? I said, you know, it's because if we get to a near miss, now that means that we weren't obviously as good as we thought. Maybe it's just one of those situations where Groovno happens during a near miss, but not in this case. So, you know, and we'll improve and move on. We'll learn. But it means that our system wasn't there, and it's very disappointing sometimes where things don't work the way that they're supposed to. But again, with this type of near miss, we'll talk about it later on, you know, we'll fix it. But anyway, going on, the question that I received from a listener was this. I have a brand new, not a brand new, a new to them, refrigerator that I got off of somebody. It's approximately 28 years old. It can't be fixed, but it runs. So if I have a problem with it, I can't fix it, but it does run for now. Should I keep it or not? And what is safety? Safety is not the presence or absence of incidents or accidents or anything like that. Safety is the presence of capacity and resilience. Right? What we can do and how can we respond? So it's mostly capacity. You're adding capacity to a system, safeguards, what have you. Now you're going to say, well, Jim, this is a refrigerator. What do you mean? Well, what do you use a refrigerator for? You use a refrigerator for all different types of stuff. All right. You put food in it, and it could be perishable food. It could be it could be perishable food, right? That's one of them, right? It could be just to keep things cold, like let's say a drink type of thing, and you're increasing capacity there. So most people have, so the power goes out, food will last for about 24 hours in that, the rule of thumb, some a little bit more, a little bit less. But it's always, I've always found it to be very handy to have a spare refrigerator, a garage refrigerator, for lack of a better word, or a basement refrigerator. This way, you can increase your capacity for food, for drinks, and things of that nature. Why would you might need that? I don't know. Why you might need more, you know, during but you have capacity in there. I would keep it. I have a refrigerator, my grandmother's refrigerator from the 1960s, still running great. Those old Freon, that stuff's good. And I, you know, knock on wood, it's still doing really good here. So what's the answer? Should you have one? Yeah, I would have one just for the capacity on that. And the other thing is this. You don't, in the event of emergency, you have a generator, you can have, right, double the amount of food available, right? Because now you can, well, you put on that refrigerator, put it on for a couple hours. Now you rotate it to the other refrigerator for a couple of hours, right? Maybe a freezer you have for a couple of hours. You keep things cold and you keep things fresh and everything else. You're increasing capacity with that. And again, remember, you're going to say, well, what about my neighbors? No, if you're like that, if you're friendly with your neighbors, finding that hard to do nowadays for a lot of people to do that. Now you have capacity with that. So what's my advice? Don't get rid of that refrigerator. We're going to take a brief break here, and we're going to go into some other stuff. Let's try with our Monday message. Hop message.
This is Safety Wars, broadcasting to our brothers and sisters in the occupied territory of behavior-based safety. Get out your secret decoder ring. Here is your nightly message.
Human error is normal. Human error is normal.
Okay, and let's see here. New software, you gotta love it. Okay, I need to do a share screen here. And I'm recording this on another program, and it seems like I can't do that anymore because every time I try to share something, there's a problem. Plain and simple. So, we're going to do this. Bear with me. Okay, hopefully you're seeing this. So we're going to run through a couple of accident reports here and other things. And what do we got here? Okay, here we have a situation where we have U.S. Department of Labor finds a Houston metal coating company exposed workers to dozens of serious safety hazards. A federal workplace inspection at a metal finisher in Houston found the company exposing employees to more than 40 safety hazards with the potential to cause serious health hazards. And let's see here. You have many different things listed here. Respiratory hazards, noise hazards. The five other than serious violations were found were for not evaluating and certifying forklift operators and ensuring readily accessible fire extinguishers. The company faces $338,094 in proposed penalties, and there are there is a concurrent investigation into alleged health hazards. And going on, again, everyone's innocent till proven guilty in a court of law. Let's see if we could go on here and get a copy of the report. Hold on. Come on, there you go. All right. Outdoor Furnishing is the name of the company. Again, innocent till proven guilty, and all this stuff gets negotiated downward. Always when you're on the air, this stuff messes up, right? Here we have Citation 1, Item 1. This is General Duty Clause, where you have...
an employee performing powder coating activities in the Big Batch spray booth was exposed to an 8-hour time-weighted average of 0.36 milligrams per cubic meter of TGIC. That stands for 135-triglycidyl isocyanurate. That's why they call it TGIC. Which is 7.2 times the ACGIS threshold limit of 0.05 milligrams. All right, so journal duty clause violation for something that does have an exposure limit here. They were not able to do it under a specific permissible exposure limit. However, they were able to do it under the journal duty clause with this. Again, note this. This is an important case here. Because this now, when you if you're an industrial hygienist, they say, "Well, so I'm not above the PEL. F you, I'm not doing it. I'm not putting in this." Blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? Now you can whip this out and say, "Look, they cited the person under this, and they have $11,300, a little bit short of it." Citation one, item two. The employer did not establish within 6 months of an employee's first exposure at or above the action level. An audiogram is $8,000. The employee did not ensure that hearing protections were worn by an employee. $8,067. Citation one, item four. They apparently have some type of a fan or a blower, an exhaust fan that did not have any type of measuring devices on it to determine whether it was working or not. An air exhaust and spray operations was directed so that it could contaminate makeup air by air being introduced into the spraying area and other ventilation intakes, or directed as to create a nuisance. So basically, they were blowing air out of the booth, and it was too close to the or recirculated into back into the booth. Citation item six: sprinklers protecting the spraying areas are not kept free of deposits as practical by daily cleaning if necessary. So the spray booths had sprinklers in there, right? Presumably fire sprinklers, and they were rendered inoperative. In theory, at least, because they had an accumulation of dust, $8,000. How are we doing on time here? Hold on. I don't have my timer going. 52 minutes. Okay, great. We're doing good. So accumulation of dust, very dangerous. Employer did not designate a program. This is under respiratory hazard. And a program administrator, $8,067. This is zero. No training for the employees on respirators. And they did not use a NIOSH certified respirator in compliance with the conditions of a certification. Let's take a little bit of in here, right? Inside the blasting building and outside the blasting area, SAS and N95 particulate respirators were worn beneath bullet air-supplied abrasive helmets. The combination of respirators was not certified by NIOSH, therefore exposing employees performing abrasive blasting activities to inhalation hazards. On or about December, blah, 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 scarves were worn beneath elastometric air purifying respirators. This practice was not in compliance. A lot to be gained by reading this. This was always a question here. I'm going to be sending this on out to some clients tonight. And again, fit testing, and we're not going to go through all 40 of those. We're not going to have time. Here, and yes, I have to put on do not disturb on here. Scrolling on down, clean rooms were not provided here, and a lot of these are zero. Did not provide PPE, apparently, going on and on and on. So
What's the moral of the story? People say, well, Jim, what do we do so we could not have OSHA problems with OSHA or anything else? What could we do? What could we do? And I always say the same thing. You know, it sounds stupid and everything. I understand that. How about you don't break the law? Wouldn't that be nice? Just don't break the law. That's what we got there. So I know we were all over tonight, and I apologize for that. But if you notice, why do you like the new background? This was done at the suggestion of Jay Allen here, where we start to put up soundproofing. That's what we're doing. We put up some soundproofing this weekend, finally, along with everything else. I mean, after the 5 years that I've had here with family members being sick and all other different family situations, then we're finally getting ahead on everything. That's what we needed to do. So that's all I got for tonight. Want to thank everybody for listening, for hanging in there with us. We're going to be releasing some short videos throughout this week. We'll probably be on the air tonight and tomorrow. We may have some stuff available, I don't know, on Safety FM, but on the other platforms we're on. Now, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we'll see how it goes tomorrow. We've got a lot going on here. So, for Safety Wars, this is Jim Polzel, and we're going to go into our outro here and go from there. Hold on. Here we go. So, I will see you later in the week. For Safety Wars and Safety FM, this is Jim Polzel.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.